Support for Veterans Corner on Veterans Corner Radio is made possible by M&M Printing and the Observer News of Ruskin. Hello and welcome to Veterans Corner Radio Podcasts, information for and about veterans. Joining host Bill Hodges for this edition of the podcast is Karen Rudicelli, Director of Health Affairs and Government Relations for the Military Officers Association of America. Director Rudicelli is a person in the know because she is the one that monitors what's happening in Congress that might affect veterans. For this program, we are talking to her about the recent information being floated on charging for TRICARE for Life. Here now is Bill Hodges with Veterans Corner Radio on Veterans Corner Radio Podcasts.
Welcome to Veterans Corner, a show dedicated to providing information to all those who have served our country's military and to their families. Now, here is your host, newspaper columnist, management trainer, and Air Force veteran, Bill Hodges.
Hi, I am Bill Hodges, and this is Veterans Corner Radio. And I have a great guest with me today. All my guests are great. I have the Director of Health Affairs and Government Relations for the Military Officers Association of America, Karen Rudicelli. Karen is an expert when it comes to what's happening up on the Hill. Her job entails going up there and talking with senators, congressmen about these issues. And not long ago, we're going to talk about other things. But one of the things I want to clarify on this is that we're going to talk about a CBO proposal, Congress Budget Office proposal, which talked about adding fees to TRICARE for Life, which has never happened before. It talked about adding to that some other things that would be co-pays. That's never happened before. And so this organization, MOAA, Military Officers Association of America, doesn't just represent the people who are officers. They represent all of us that served in the military. So, Karen, can you give us a little bit of overview of your job and who you are, where you've been, what you've done? And maybe then let's talk about TRICARE for Life.
Sure. Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate you having me on to talk about this important topic. Just a little bit of background. I am a military spouse. My husband, Kurt, served in the Army. He had a 26-year career during which he spent 4-year-long deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. Once we moved to the National Capital Region for a Pentagon assignment for him, I was very interested in getting involved in the military advocacy community. And I started my career at the National Military Family Association. I spent about 7 years there, and then I moved to MOA, where I've been fortunate to continue my work on TRICARE. I basically work on the Hill and with DOD leaders to protect and improve the military healthcare benefit. And I've been doing that for about 10 years now.
So TRICARE for Life is very important to you because it touches your pocketbook.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely come to this work not only as an advocate, but also as a beneficiary myself. And it is definitely, you know, it factored into my husband's decision to stay in for a full career, even when we knew it would mean additional deployments.
And he's been everywhere.
Yes.
And you've supported him all the way. I have lived in a military community all my life, practically. I lived 40 years in the shadow of Dayton, Ohio, and Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And I know what community is like, and I know what you spouses go through while your men or women are deployed. And that's a lot of work for one person all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was definitely challenging. 3 of his deployments were kind of back to back to back with a year or less in between. And during that time, we had 2 kids born. So it was definitely a challenge to have 2 under 2 and have him gone and to be worried about his safety, you know, a lot of the time.
Oh, certainly. And then the interesting thing, we'll get off this quickly, but watching the service member return home and all of a sudden wanting to take back over everything, that was always a challenge.
Yes. Yeah. The transition back home starts out, you know, it's great, but it can become very challenging, especially when you come back and you've got little kids who've really changed developmentally a great deal during the course of a year.
Now, let's talk about the CBO has come up with some plans. And as I understand the CBO operation is that they're sitting back churning ideas and thoughts about how the government can cut their costs or defer their costs to other people. And they came up with some ideas on TRICARE for Life. And the agreement was, even back as far as I went in, that if you went in and you served honorably, we would be taken care of. And the CBO is saying, no, let's not do that. Here are some things that we could do to save the overall taxpayer money and put it on the veteran. And so it goes from the CBO, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but it goes from the CBO, then goes into Congress if somebody chooses to pick it up as a bill.
Right. So the Congressional Budget Office, at the beginning of every new Congress, every new two-year Congress, puts out a report that outlines some ideas for ways that Congress might consider to reduce the deficit. You know, if you think about it, with each new Congress, you have new members coming in who may not have the background in a lot of different policy issues. So this report is really intended to address that very, you know, important yet difficult issue of deficit reduction. And what the Congressional Budget Office is doing is really they're doing the math. They are explaining, here's how you could reduce the deficit. That CBO report does not go into the impacts on the people who would be affected. So it is simply saying, here's some ways that you could consider to reduce the deficit. Like I said, it does the math for members of Congress.
So then it would be up to the congressperson to step
yes,
up and
absolutely.
Say, I think this is a good idea. I think I'll write a bill on it and put it out there if I can get the number of people I need to support the bill.
Exactly. What the Congressional Budget Office puts out, they're not legislative proposals. They're just ideas for Congress to consider. And you're right. It would be up to a member of Congress to take a look at this report and say, hey, yeah, I think that looks like a good idea, that TFL concept.
I called my congressman right away. He said, first of all, I'm not aware of it because it's not a bill yet. And second of all, if it became a bill, I wouldn't support it. So I don't think that we have to worry too much on this TRICARE for Life, that we will, in fact, have something within any short period of time. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be aware, right?
Absolutely. A big part of my job at MOA is to be out there scanning the environment for threats. And when the CBO puts out an idea like this, we consider that a threat. Is it an imminent threat? You know, no, it is out there though. And we believe it's really important to address these ideas up front. Our concern is that by the time it becomes a legislative proposal, somebody out there is counting on those savings that would be generated by these ideas. And at that point, it becomes much more difficult to combat this because you're not just trying to put forth the reasons why this would be wrong and detrimental. You're also trying to prove that, you know, it is so wrong that it's not worth undermining the savings that somebody is counting on. So we really think it's important to get out there and explain why these things are a bad idea before it gets to the legislative proposal point.
In my interviews with your presidents, they have said in several instances that MOAA of all the military groups is the most active on the Hill.
Yeah, I will say MOA has a very robust government relations team. We are fortunate to be able to fund a GR team that can split up the issues pretty finely. You know, as an example, there's really only one other military service organization that I know of that has somebody dedicated to TRICARE and the military healthcare benefit. And that's NMFA, where I came from. So there really are only two organizations out there that I'm aware of that are fully focused on protecting and improving the military healthcare benefit. And we're really fortunate to be able to do so.
How many people do we have working on the Hill?
You know, I believe right now we're up to 9 registered lobbyists at this point.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is. We try to keep track of the key committees like Armed Services and Veterans Affairs. We've been very involved in the quality of life panel that has been stood up by the House Armed Services Committee. So yeah, we're fortunate that we can really kind of cover a lot of issues that are of importance to service members and retirees and their families.
What kinds of things does your office in particular handle?
So my portfolio is specific to healthcare that falls under the DOD header. So I keep an eye on veterans healthcare, but somebody else on our team really owns that subject as a subject matter expert. So for me, it's all about TRICARE. That includes fees, access to care through the quality of the networks, coverage policies. I also handle the direct care system of military hospitals and clinics, making sure that people there have access to care and a good patient experience. And then I touch on kind of ancillary issues like the Exceptional Family Member Program and the TRICARE Extended Care Health Option, which are both for families with special needs family members. So yeah, that's my area of focus.
You know, it is so wonderful to have someone watching what's going on. My friends at the VA, I give them huge credit. It's probably the largest healthcare agency in the world, if it's not, it's close. And they do a fabulous job. But it's always good to have somebody looking over the shoulder.
Absolutely. That is really a key role that we play here at MOA. I mean, we are out there providing oversight on the benefit. And we work as information conduits too for members of Congress. So for instance, recently in 2020, a report came out from the DOD Office of the Inspector General that showed that access to mental health care for service members and their families was really suffering. In fact, about half of the people who'd been referred to mental health care did not get an appointment. That's really concerning. I mean, that's a very important finding, but not every member of Congress is going to know that. I mean, they are covering so many issues. It's really up to us in our role to go out there and say, hey, you know, did you see this report? Here's the key findings. This is really what we think you should do to address this issue. So not only are we fighting threats, but we're also trying to go out there and seek ways to improve the benefit.
MOAA has put out some bulletins on this TRICARE for Life, have you not?
We regularly write about TRICARE for Life in our weekly newsletter and in our monthly military officer magazine. So yeah, we keep our members abreast of what's going on with TRICARE for Life.
Well, I'm an honorary member of MOAA and proud of that. I only had 3 stripes, but our chapter here was kind enough to bring me in. But how does one get this information if they're not a member of MOA, or can they?
You know, you can absolutely follow MOA on social media. We put out information that way as well. I would encourage people who aren't members to kind of get a taste for what MOA is doing by following us on social media. Most people are probably familiar with Facebook. We have a page both for the association overall, as well as a spouse's page with issues of interest to families.
You know, it's so important. And those that listen to me regularly know I beat this drum all the time. You need to belong to something. Mm-hmm. If you're ex-military, whether you served 2 years, 50 years ago, or whether you spent 37 years in the military, You need to belong to something that helps you be part of the tribe and helps the tribe help you in your job be able to go to the Hill and say, look, I've got all these voters.
Yeah, we absolutely agree. You know, MOA is one of many military and veteran service organizations out there. I highly recommend, not just for the camaraderie that you can get through belonging to a chapter and for maintaining your connection to the military community, which I know is really important for a lot of retirees and their families, but also to protect your benefits and to understand what's going on out there, to join one of our organizations. And there's a lot of them out there specific to, you know, different career specialties, different
rank structures.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of us out there, and I would highly recommend that you join. You know, your membership fees not only help support the work that we do on the Hill, but the membership numbers really give us a voice out there. So the fact that MOA can say that we represent more than 350,000 members, it carries a lot of weight. I mean, that says something. So that's how your membership helps the organizations that you belong to.
Okay, let's go back to TRICARE for Life and kind of summarize. As I understand from what you're saying, that this is just something that the CBO spitballed. We're saying, well, here, we could do this. But at this point, there is no bill in Congress.
You have summed it up exactly right. At this point, it's a concept. It's not a pending bill. We're taking it very seriously because it could mean hundreds to thousands of dollars out of pocket for TRICARE for Life beneficiaries. And that would really be a betrayal of the obligation that our nation has to provide this benefit. So we are taking it very seriously. We do encourage you, you know, your listeners, if they care about this issue, to reach out to their lawmakers and explain why it's so important. You know, we always encourage folks to remind your member of Congress what your career in the military entailed. I know a lot of people are uncomfortable doing that. I know some people think, well, isn't it obvious, you know, the sacrifices that are associated with decades of military service?
This is really, Karen, like watching a wave come off of the African continent and saying it could turn into something.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to watch it. Most of them don't, but we're going to watch them. And there is a watchdog sitting on it, watching it. So if it happens, I'll be back to you.
Okay. Yes, I am that watchdog, and I am pleased and thankful to be in a position to be able to do this job.
My guest today has been Karen Rudicelli. She's the Director of Health Affairs, Government Relations for the Military Officers Association of America, MOAA. And by the way, just because there's officers in this doesn't mean they're not supporting you if you, like me, had three stripes, one stripe, or no stripes, or spent 2 years in, or 10 years, or 15. They are supporting you all the way. Karen, thank you so much for being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're unique, you're special, and you're great. Tell yourself so often because you are, you know. And we'll talk to you very soon again on Veterans Corner Radio.
You've been listening to Veterans Corner with your host, Air Force veteran Bill Hodges. The views expressed on this program are those of Bill and his guests and are opinions based on the best available information. In matters of law or governmental regulation, it will always be best to check with the appropriate agency. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us for the next Veterans Corner.
Before we go, here's a quick final thought. Why not take a minute to follow or mark Veterans Corner Radio podcasts as a favorite? It's easy, and you'll be among the first to be notified when new episodes of the podcast are released. And thanks for listening to Veterans Corner Radio Podcasts.